Reef here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this April 7th, 2021, it is your most humble of hosts, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and the narrative that'll follow it. 445-278-7723, crusadechannel.com/chat, CHAT. If you want to be a part of this conversation at any time, or you'd like to just drop us, I don't know, $5, like a $5 donation to help validate me, which is okay. I don't mind. I have no pride. I'll tell you that validates me. crusadechannel.com/chat. There's a lot of other stuff I could say there, but I don't think anybody wants to hear it. So, or at least the rest of that. crusadechannel.com/chat. This segment of the program is brought to you by coffee at mikechurch.com/shop. If you want to get some of the best gourmet coffee in the world, go to mikechurch.com/shop and get your hands on either Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast Coffee or the Abbey Roast Coffee from the Benedictine Monks of Our Lady of Guadalupe Monastery in Silver City, New Mexico. And you will be drinking some of the finest gourmet coffee in the world. And you won't be supporting Charbucks, and you won't be supporting Shrunken or any of these other places, these big conglomerates. And believe me, I grew up in the Northeast addicted to Dunkin' Donuts. Because there's one on every street corner. But also because I didn't know any better. And if I had only known about the Founders Trading Posts and the coffee there, I would have been in much better shape. MikeChurch.com/shop. Get your hands on some gourmet coffee today. MikeChurch.com/shop. Now, while we wait for Brother Andre Marie to join us, couple things here. First of all, some news from the Post-Millennial, which I don't like to cite, but I've seen this by Jack Posebix tweeted out, and a couple others have. Y'all remember that church that everybody celebrated? I celebrated it on Monday. The one where the guy was like, get out! Yeah, now they've just put up roadblocks and fences so you can't get there. Yep. So that guy, I mean, good for him, but they've now put up, the church is called Grace Life Church. Grace Life, and this is from the Post-Millennial, is being walled off by two layers of security fencing and a black tarp to obscure the entrance to the church. So, at least in Canada, this is why I guess the Catholic bishops just, take the knee when the government, well, there's a lot of reasons for it, but if you defy the government in Canada, they're going to put up all kinds of stuff to keep you from attending services. But hey, we got some good lines out of it too. So we have that. It looks like we have Brother Andre Marie in the chat room. Is Brother Andre Marie on the line right now? I'm sure Justin will tell me when he's on. But that's fine. We're waiting for him to join us here in a moment. Also, while we're waiting, real quick, I called it. Now, I like to toot my horn when it takes place. Allie, thank you. Thank you for your $20 donation. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you so very much. But I called it. Because I said yesterday when the shooting took place, I didn't save any of these, in Maryland. When the shooting took place in Maryland, I said, hey, nobody hears anything about what's going on in Maryland. Probably because the guy isn't white. Because if the guy was white, we would have heard about it. And I have to find the name of this dude. Let me see if I can actually find the name of this guy. He's an Ethiopian. So we'll just say that. He's an Ethiopian. So this story will now be memory hold. Because that's just too much. So that's he's morally white. That's correct. He's a morally white guy, but that's what we're seeing. I don't know why I'm a tuba player right now, but that's what's going on there. So thank you, Schaefer, for making me a tuba player. Brother Andre?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you 100% loud and crystal clear.
Excellent. Wonderful.
Welcome to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, Mr. Brother Andre Marie. How are you today? Blessed Eastertide to you.
I'm well, and a blessed Eastertide to you as well. Thank you. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So there's some things that happened over the Easter weekend outside of the obvious celebration of our Lord and Savior conquering death. Did you hear about what happened in England on Good Friday?
Yeah, I did. I did. Was that some sort of an ethnic parish, a Polish parish?
I couldn't really dig too much into it, too much deeper. I know Fiorella mentioned it, but she didn't really know the ethnicity of the actual church where it took place. So no, I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's a, it's an obvious violation of the rights of God first and of the faithful second. And it's, I don't understand why the priests didn't do what the Polish gentleman in Canada did. And here's one guy screaming at a bunch of round shirts and they all went out. Mm. Now, maybe in the UK, they're a little bit more totalitarian. I don't know, but.
Well, they're also a lot. They have that that pedigree of being polite. I guess the British always do. So they're really not adverse to authority. So that's probably what took place there. Also, there's always the talk about the fact that the Catholic Church in England kind of feels like it's being there. It's almost being allowed to be there because it's the Church of England. So maybe there's that they don't want to push too hard because of the feeling of being allowed. Even though it's not correct, but just kind of as the religion that's kind of the odd person out within the English structure, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was predicted years ago, over 100 years ago, that in England, the only serious Christians would be Catholics in the not too distant future, because Anglicanism had long been kind of the party of the establishment, and it has long had this tendency to just sort of do whatever it's expected to do. The Anglican Church, that is to say, has always done whatever it's expected to do to sort of validate the establishment's mores, which it served them well. I mean, when the Anglican establishment, when the laity in the Anglican establishment wanted to be validated as conservative, the Anglican Church appeared somehow sort of socially conservative and sort of a bastion of Victorian morals and so forth. Well, now that the establishment wants to be woke, the Anglican Church majors in wokeness, and they do it like nobody else. So I think that tendency was identified long before woke was a reality. That tendency was identified, and over 100 years ago, as I say, and it was predicted that since Anglicanism wasn't really a serious religion, it would just sort of wither away into secularism, which for the most part it has done. And as I understand it, I'm not one of these sort of Joe Doyle types who's a walking encyclopedia, but as I understand it, the number of Catholics who are practicing in England seriously outnumbers the number of practicing Anglicans.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense, because to actually practice in a place like England, you'd have to be serious about it, as opposed to being Anglican, where it's kind of just part of your list of identifiers. Oh, I'm an Anglican. I work at the bank over here, and it's really it's not something that's really taken to heart outside of where, as you said, if you're actually going to be a practicing Catholic in a place where, let's be real, I'm not trying to be combative to my evangelical brothers and sisters, but in England, it's kind of adversarial to that whole thing, to be practicing it in that regard. So yes, that's just wanted to get your thoughts on what was going on there on Good Friday. It just continues to show, folks, that people in Western societies don't really want to address the obvious discrimination that Catholics face. We kind of want to feel like we live in the 50s, where we see those black and white pictures always. Like, look at all these things that are out. Look at all these beautiful parishes. Folks, we're not there anymore. We have an adversary relationship with a government. It doesn't matter if you're in England or the United States or any wet Canada. We heard Kennedy Hall talk about it this morning. We have to really acknowledge the fact that we are in that adversarial relationship, and we should actually rejoice in that, because, you know, it's kind of what we're supposed to be, right? Isn't that correct, Brother Andre?
Well, yeah, we're certainly in an adversarial, you mean an adversarial relationship with the world and the sort of evangelical sense of the world, you mean?
Yeah, well, the way I was trying to put it is people try to live, we're living in the fantasy of the Judeo-Christian culture, like where our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian Christian belief, and nothing will ever happen to us because of that foundation. And we're starting to, well, we're seeing with Corona from last year, the advancement of the open discrimination against Christians and Catholics, especially with shutting down of churches, interrupting services, and that's what I'm trying to make the statement on.
Oh yeah, no. We should make it really clear that we're not going to obey stuff like that. That's unreasonable. I mean, they lose their legitimacy when they command the shutting down of churches. Catholics have been martyred over things like this. Why should we suddenly just be all nice and accommodating to tyranny when it's clearly, I mean, you know, if there were actually some, I suppose it's arguable that if there are actually some genuine public pestilence where, you know, going in public, you know, did clearly threaten the lives of those around you, where perhaps the state could have a stake in stopping that. But it's so clearly not the case. And it's so clearly highly selective. I mean, just as in this country, you had events that were taking place in the UK. They had BLM stuff there too, like we did. Yep. Here, not as widespread, but they had events taking place during the lockdowns. But because they were sufficiently woke, you could do those things. You can't do it. You can't meet in churches, but you can meet to protest some cause in favor of some sort of left-wing cause, and that's just fine. I mean, that's clearly irrational. And the idea that so they're giving us very selective treatment. And yeah, I think we have a duty to disobey that kind of nonsense.
Agreed. You're listening to the one and only Brother Andre Marie, who's agreed to take some time to jump on here on the Bible Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, for our Wisdom Wednesday. And Brother Andre Marie will be joining me and Mike Church and David Simpson and James Matthew Wilson and others for the coming Upon These Rocks Crusader Congress in a couple of weeks, Brother Andre. The time is coming up for that soon. Well, I would like to talk about that in a little bit. Just one more thing. I don't know if you have seen this. It was on Twitter, so hopefully you didn't see it because it's a trash website. But there was this thing. There's this person on Twitter called Novus Ordo Watch, and they have this website called Novus Ordo Watch. And yeah, he published a hit piece on one of the few people that I thought you couldn't publish a hit piece on, and that was one and only Charles Colomb. Have you seen this hit piece at all, or were you even aware of it?
Well, okay, so no, but I'm aware of the nature of the attack. I mean, so Novus Ordo Watch, I don't know who it is that runs it, but it's a Sede Vacantist website, and they utterly hate and vilify us. So I've been vilified, although not by name, but sort of institutionally, we have been vilified there. But yeah, where do I start? So Charles Colomb, whom you've met, right? You've met him.
Yes.
So Charles is an extremely, Charles moves around a lot of circles. And there's no questioning of the fact that Charles has a lot of people that he knows who are into some pretty weird stuff. Charles makes no secret of this. So in his attempt to evangelize them, he will frequently attempt to engage them in things that they're interested in. Like he's written for various Gnostic publications over the years, writing essentially Catholic content, saying, look, if you're interested in real magic, well, look at this sort of look at the sacramental system of the Catholic Church. Mm. Now, and a lot of some traditionalists are very uncomfortable with this. I mean, I don't do it. I don't see the value of it, but Charles does. But the key here is that he's not attempting to make it seem as if the sacramental system is magic in the way that occultists understand magic. He's kind of taken the J.R.R. Tolkien view of magic, that it's just something that's either of divine origin or just some latent power in nature that's being tapped into, either for good or evil. And he's trying to appeal to these people in a language that they understand, like, hey, if you really want to find the real deal instead of this fake junk, come into the Catholic Church and you can see all of the truly mystical realities that we have. So I don't know anything about tarot. I know nothing. I have seen the cards.
He makes two of us.
I would recognize this weird deck of cards with these weird symbols as tarot cards. And there is apparently something of a Catholic spin on them, in the sense that some of the symbols come from sort of medieval Catholic symbolism, as I understand it. But again, my knowledge of this stuff is quite Spartan. You can fit it in a thimble. But Charles knows some people who are seriously into this stuff, and he actually informed me that certain people who were associated with tarot cards converted because they got more interested in the actual Catholic symbolism of behind the cards than the cards themselves and the goofball magic that they represent. Charles assured me when I asked him about this years ago. Actually, no, it was about a year ago, somebody was floating this tarot card junk around about him. And I said, so look, somebody's accosting me on Twitter about this. What do I say? Because I don't know anything about this. And so he kind of gave me his summary of what this event was. He said he absolutely had no participation in any real tarot card reading. There was some staged thing where the tarot cards were being explained. And he said, yeah, the guy that runs it is an occultist. There's no question. He's also a guy that Charles is trying to get into the church. So I said, well, do you put any supernatural value in the tarot cards? And he said, absolutely not. It's gibberish. Mm. He was interested in sort of the Catholic origins of the symbolism that's used in the tarot cards. And, you know, anybody that reads about the esoteric, you know, the even Freemasonry and some of the more, esoteric aspects of Freemasonry knows that they stole a lot of the symbolism from the Catholic Church. So there's no question that a lot of your occultists stole Catholic symbolism and used it. So while I have very little information, very little knowledge of the movement or of the people involved, because I don't move in those circles at all, it is my understanding that, yeah, they have this sort of, some of them have this sort of harbored this sort of fascination with Catholicism. And I think Charles, who is very eclectic, as anybody who knows him will tell you, he tries to utilize that fascination that some of these folks have, even if they're outright occultists, to try to get them into the Catholic Church. So, I know Charles, I've known Charles for years. I've known him since the early 90s. And, I've never heard him profess any, other faith than the Catholic faith, and I've never heard him make any sort of profession of faith in the efficacy of these things. In fact, Charles is extremely wary of the diabolical. I mean, he's aware of, you know, the power of the genuine power of the demonic, and I don't think he wants to do anything to invite that sort of thing into his life or the lives of others. In fact, he's kind of as educated as he is, he kind of has the sort of peasant fascination with sacramentals that is often associated with the hoi polloi in the Catholic Church. And by the way, we should all have such peasant piety, I think. So, I mean, the guy wears sacramentals, he promotes sacramentals, he gives St. Benedict medals away to his friends. I mean, I've seen him tangle with, he had a friend who was in the hospital, and he told me a story about bringing the St. Benedict medal to the guy because he was having these weird occurrences when the guy was in the hospital, and the St. Benedict medal helped the fellow. So, you know, that's not the kind of thing that a genuine occultist does. So, I just think I don't know the guy behind Nova Soda Watch, don't know him at all. But if he's anything like the sort of slime ball reporters that I do know that I have brought into, it's what you call a gotcha moment. You know, they think they have him on something that they can attack him for, and that they're gonna spook some traditionalists for, who are going to think, okay, guilt by association. Yeah, he's an occultist. I have to hate him now. The same thing happened with us years ago, and I won't name names here, except I'll name the names of the innocent, not the guilty. But something similar happened to us years ago when we had John Sharp speak at our conference. We had a friend who was a Hungarian lady who had fled Hungary as a child when the communists took over, and she had seen all kinds of horrors, and so she was staunchly anti-communist, as you would expect. And what ended up happening was, you know how there's some people are very virulently anti-distributist. Yeah. And John Sharp is a big distributist guy, and he's totally Catholic. I mean, I've never heard the guy promote anything other than Catholic social theory or Catholic doctrine. But he majors in the Church's social teaching. He published years ago lots of books on the Church's social teaching by noted and respected Catholic authors. And because there was some person out there in California where our Hungarian friend lived who was very anti-distributist, when this person heard that John Sharp was speaking at our conference, told our friend, oh, St. Benedict Center is promoting a communist. It was a complete fabrication. So I think Charles Colomb is about as much of an occultist as John Sharp is a communist, which is to say, not at all. So
it's clickbait, essentially, is what people would call it, because Charles Colomb is well known. By the way, you're listening to Brother Andre Marie here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Charles Colomb is known because he speaks, and like you said, he travels in many different circles. So if you can get that name, and he's on Twitter, so you can tag him so that he shows up in his feed as well. If you can get that, that brings people that will A, defend him, and B, revel in the fact that, ooh, for some reason or another, don't like him for something he said in the past. It allows us to do one thing we're not supposed to, brother, which is just judge, right? We're supposed to judge the people who don't like him, we'll judge him, and the people who do. It's just a real representative of how much Twitter is just a dump.
Yeah. Well, it is a dump, and you've got people take somebody like Charles. He's an easy target because he's an easy target because he publishes a lot, he writes a lot, he's got something of a profile, and he's known also as a quote unquote Feeneyite. I mean, he makes no bones about that, and this is a fellow who, again, to talk about his eclectic side, he once joked with me. He said, he didn't joke with me, he told me of a joke that his brother told him. He has an older brother whose name is Andre, which is very confusing because he'll refer to my brother Andre, and people standing around, if I'm present, people standing around who don't know that he has an older brother named Andre Colomb, assume that he's using a bizarre sort of affectionate description of me.
Well, he's obviously talking about you, obviously.
Yeah, my brother Andre, like, you know, he's all possessive of me, and I have to sort of step in and say he's talking about his blood brother, by the way. But anyway, his brother Andre one time told him when they were going to go out for the evening, he said, so where to? A Russian royalty ball or a Hell's Angels meeting? And because Andre was sort of giving a hat tip to Charles's not eccentricity, but his moving around in different circles. And yes, he literally did know some Hell's Angels, and he never rode with them, and he never committed crimes with them. But he in some interesting social circles, and I for one am aware of people who have entered the Catholic Church or returned to the Catholic Church due to Charles's what I would call authentic Catholic zeal to save souls. So I don't, you know, this is to paraphrase something from A Man for All Seasons. This is not the stuff of occultists.
No, not at all. And when you're over the target like that, which Charles puts himself in to actually try to save souls, you're going to get this kind of wrath. I'm sure he doesn't even care, because that's, you have petty people, and it's a petty article. And it's absolutely, it's really the state of Catholicism today. Unfortunately, we're too busy trying to rip each other down instead of actually practicing being in the universal church. So it's really a tragedy when somebody like Charles of Cologne, who I look back, I'm like, how can anybody have anything bad to say about this guy? But apparently people can, and they will. So they're going to have to be as they are. So let's move on to a couple other things, because we don't have a lot of time left, and I got a couple other things to talk about. So who is the saint in this that we're celebrating today? You posted it at Catholicism.org, Saint Hermine Joseph.
Saint Hermine Joseph. Now, I tweeted him out today, right?
Yes.
All right. So let me get up my cheat notes. I'm getting my Joe Biden cue notes here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have given you the pictures, and that way we could have figured out which question to go to next.
Well, when I tweeted him out this morning, I said that another day in the Paschal octave, and another Norbertine saint, or I think I said Premonstratensian saint. So he was a German from Cologne, died in the year 1241, so 13th century. And he was a member of the Premonstratensian order, which there's a joke about that. The members of other orders used to call the Premonstratensians monstrous pretensions. the found by Saint Norbert, who himself was a German, and Saint Norbert was a member. You know,
looks like we might have lost him here for a second.
Yep,
I think you're back.
Really? Okay, so I'm sorry about that. I'm using my new computer, so I'm hoping that the new Linux isn't on the fritz, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's every once in a while. I just need a break, like we all do. Just a breath, yeah. A breather.
Maybe I should have rebooted it or something before we went on live. I've been doing some intense stuff. I'm transitioning, but don't worry. I'm transitioning from my Mac to my Linux.
The correct transitioning. You're not. Yeah. You're not Asa Hutchinsing this whole thing. You're actually doing the correct transitioning away from the evil corporations that I am surrounded by in my little studio right now. I have to follow your example, brother.
Oh, it's gonna. If we're actually gonna, as an entity, as a corporate entity here at St. Benedict Center, if we're going to actually transition away from Apple, it's going to take us years. But we're dipping our feet in it because it's their products are so superior when it comes to a lot of the stuff we do, layout and stuff like that. Mm. But so St. Hermine Joseph was what they call a canon regular, which is a monk, but they were clerics who you know, monks used to not be clerics. They then started becoming clerics in the Middle Ages, but in the Premonstratensians or the Norbertines, they were canons regular, so they were always mostly clerics who lived the monastic life. So that's what Saint Hermann Joseph belonged to, that that outfit.
Excellent, excellent. Because it's great that we actually we get daily saints, because people only think of, obviously, outside of the people that practice the faith consistently, they only think of the big ones. So it's good to have these daily ones as well. So we were glad to hear that you have a brand new episode of Reconquest coming up tonight. What is that tonight's episode going to entail?
So I was it's going to sound like it's in left field, but I did an episode
That's
called
the best kind. Those are the best kinds.
Yes, the Catholic Church still evangelizes Jews. And I put that up. I did that episode because I was reminded of something this year at Good Friday during the solemn prayers and the traditional rite, where we pray for the conversion of the Jews. And as we pray for conversion of all sorts of people, you know, these solemn prayers and the traditional rite, every Good Friday, where there are all these categories of people who are prayed for, beginning with the Pope and the Bishop and the clergy and the faithful of the Church, catechumens, heretics and schismatics, Jews. Let's see, who else? I think that's basically it. There are nine solemn prayers, and I was moved by the one prayer, by all those prayers actually, but I was reminded of the fact that there was this controversy years ago when Pope Benedict altered the prayer for the conversion of the Jews. It's in the Good Friday prayer for the 1962 liturgy, and it engendered all sorts of nasty polemics. And so without being polemical, I simply addressed the subject. Well, actually, I was polemical about certain aspects, but I simply addressed the subject of the conversion of the Jews, that this is something that the Church positively wills, positively works for, positively prays for. We can know what the Church wants when we look what the Church prays for. Mm-hmm. And this is one occasion when the Church officially prays for the conversion of the Jews. And she does evangelize the Jews. And I pointed out that there are times when, you know, many formerly celebrated converts from Judaism to the Catholic Church who have been neglected and kind of, you know, flushed down the memory hole. Because now in this hyper ecumenical age, they serve as something of an embarrassment. That's what we were talking about.
Excellent. Excellent. Now you mentioned something, in there, and you're listening to Brother Andre Marie from the St. Benedict Center. He's the host of Reconquest here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel. Just on the Crusade Channel, not on my show, but on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Brand new episode tonight. You mentioned something in there. I am not steeped into the traditional rite and as much as I want to be. But I've been seeing this pop up on Twitter. Since I have you here and I have some time left, I'm going to take advantage of it and ask you the question. I'm seeing people like Dr. Taylor Marshall and Ryan Grant and others talk about the pre-55 missile versus the 62 missile. Now, for a simple plebe like myself, what's the difference between those two things, and what's the implications of using one over the other?
Well, okay, so this year I had the privilege once again of going to the pre-55 Holy Week. Now, what happened was, during the pontificate of Pope Pius XII, there were liturgists who wanted to alter Holy Week. In fact, there was a lot of talk of altering the Mass during the reign of Pius XII. In fact, it went back all the way, as far as I know, all the way back at least to the 1920s. Mm-hmm. There were these radical liturgists who wanted to alter the Mass and liturgical ceremonies in general. And some of them got ensconced in high places in the 50s and wanted to alter Holy Week. Now, one of them was Annibale Bonini, who later became the architect of the new mass itself, the Novus Ordo. Mm-hmm. So in the 50s, he was in the Holy See. He was doing stuff concerning liturgy. This was a Vincentian priest. He was a radical. He had been he went to Taizé, this ecumenical monastery that Catholics were forbidden to go to. He went there to go see the interesting liturgical novelties that they were concocting there. He would later, as I say, have a definitive role in designing the new mass that came out in 1969, 1970. I've heard people, so within the traditional movement, there is disagreement on this stuff. I have heard people say that Bonini, who was essentially a liar, and that's documented, he lied to Paul VI. He was essentially a liar, that he took a lot of credit for the changes that were made in 1955. He took more credit than was his due. Be that as it may, I don't know enough about this. This is something that scholars argue about. But the fact is that he had a hand in it, and that there were some pretty substantial alterations in the rites of Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday to some degree, Good Friday to a large degree, and Holy Saturday to a large degree. So the Holy Week and the Triduum were seriously altered in 1955. Okay. And that alteration got codified into the 1962 Missal. And when, as a result, when most traditionalists in most chapels and so forth say the 62 Missal, they're using the newer Holy Week. But the Holy See's last few years gave permission to the Fraternity of St. Peter and some other groups to use the pre-55 Holy Week, which is much longer. Mm. There are a lot of alterations in it, and to go into them, it's going to people who are not familiar with the rites at all, to go into them is going to sound a little bit esoteric. But one of the alterations, for instance, the Holy Saturday liturgy was much longer because it had 12 lessons from the Old Testament, and that was truncated to 4 lessons.
Okay.
And given the fact that these lessons are chanted, it's quite a difference in length.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I've been seeing people go back and forth on and saying 62 versus 55. So I had obviously no idea what any of this means. You'd be talking to somebody directly like me, and I'm going, okay, I don't even know any of this stuff. So it's good to get an idea of what they're talking about in regards to which missals we're actually talking about, and which ones to get if somebody's trying to get into or learn more about the beautiful rite of the mass. And you don't want to be like, oh, I got a 62. Oh, you should have gotten a 55. And you're just throwing numbers around at this point for somebody like me. And so it's like, okay. Yeah. So I appreciate the clarification. And finally, I don't know if you have to go, but finally, let's talk about the Congress that's coming up in a couple weeks, where you're going to make your triumphant return to your home country of Louisiana and Upon These Rocks Congress.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I still don't know exactly what I'm going to be saying, and I can't take all the blame for that, because there's been some sort of conversation about, well, let's see what other people are going to be talking about, who else we get to go there, and what we really want to focus on. So
I'm talking about solar energy. Mike told me to do a 30-minute presentation on solar energy. So that's what. I do need like 3 weeks to put it together. So that's I know I'm doing that.
Okay, is that really okay? Interesting. So, being a Texan, you know all about that.
It's very sunny. It is very sunny, brother. So yes, that's.
I was referring to the mishaps that happened. Oh, this, yeah. This year. Yeah,
that's actually, I have a series I do on Wednesdays, Wattage Wednesday. We're not doing it today. We're talking about using stuff like solar energy so you're not so dependent on the government. So when stuff like this happens, you're not worried about your pipes bursting and all of these other things taking place. And since we're moving to the idea of forming our own kingdoms and our own independent, independent kingdoms, something that we've all kind of looked at and snarked at, like solar energy, because it's been co-opted by the by progressives as this way to rechange the economy. But in it, like everything else, brother, in its pure form, something like solar can be very useful if you're willing to modify how you use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course the left often co-opts certain things. I mean, and sort of absolutizes them or rips them out of context or whatever. I mean, they do it with like natural organic foods and stuff like that. You know,
yep.
So what? But why should we let them take it and mutate it if it's a good thing? That's something that's like it's like permaculture. I mean, you got all kinds of hippy dippy types that are into that stuff, but then you've got traditional Catholics who are into it too, and evangelicals and all kinds of folks that are sort of on the political, if not on the political right, they're on the political sort of they're part of the sane world,
which is getting smaller by the day. Well, but still they're there.
Yeah. And I think when Bill Gates becomes the leading, owner of farmland in the United States, people realize that something's up and there is definitely a movement out there for people to be doing their own, growing their own food. So, this stuff is something that a lot of people are getting into, and it's most of them are doing it very, very quietly, so they're not bragging about it. They're just doing it. And we've come to find that out in this rural area that there are a lot of people who are doing that stuff.
How is that? I forgot the name of your beautifully massive pig. How is that doing? Because I remember I went to go see it in person when I was up there at the St. Benedict Center conference. How is that gorgeous pig and her little piglet doing?
I don't know which pig you saw, but there have been a few of the pigs that got slaughtered and have been absolutely delicious.
Well, then there you go.
So chances are that the one that you have in mind, if it was one of the bigger ones, has been with us no longer other than in spirit and in flesh
and in tastiness.
The flesh that's stored in the freezer. Yeah,
that's right. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's excellent.
They're prospering. The pigs are prospering.
That's good. That's good. You're inspiring to all of us who are trying to get into that because we all talk again. I'm going to get chickens. I'm going to grow this, and then we go, well, we actually have to do it, and that's the second part to do that. But yeah, we're all excited, folks. Brother Andre Marie's going to be at the Crusader Congress. You should go to uponthese.co and hang out with him and James Matthew Wilson and Mike Church and David Simpson. I'll be hanging around there too, and it's going to be a good time. So. Brother, once again, thank you for taking some time. I know you're a very busy man, taking some time to hang out with us here in the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel. I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you too, Mr. Barrett. It'll be great. We'll have a little Crusade Channel reunion.
Indeed, indeed. And those are always very calm, right? Very calm and very orderly.
Everybody's all kind and everything to each other.
That's right. great to hear from you, brother. Look forward to seeing you and very soon.
All right. God bless, Rick. Thank you so much.
God bless you as well, brother. Yeah, brother's very busy. So when I sent him a message yesterday at the last minute, I said, brother, I know you're super busy and you got a new episode. Would you like to come on? He's like, absolutely. I'd love to come on. And very gracious with his time. So thank you, brother, for doing that. There was a couple other things I wanted to talk to him about. But really, the thing about Charles Coulomb was just weird. And it's just it's a highlight of how spiteful we are as Catholics to each other and so willing for simple clicks on a website to defame, especially under the guise of being true Catholics or whatever that nonsense is where they go, well, I've tried to expose these people. Unless it's abject heresy that you're watching, you kind of just have to pray for them and let them be in that regard. But once again, thank you so much to Brother Andre. And if you liked what you heard, which I know you did, he's going to be at the Crusader Congress, which is going to be April 30th through May 2nd in beautiful beautiful Mandeville, Louisiana. And Mike Church is in the chat room right now, crusadechannel.com/chat. He's got some big announcements when he returns. He makes his triumphant return tomorrow back in his spot after having some great guest hosts this week. But yeah, Brother Andre is going to be there, David Simpson, Mike Church, James Matthew Wilson, Patrick Lodd will be in attendance as well. I am absolutely looking forward to it. Outside of the 30 minutes that whoever wants to hang out with me and talk about solar energy, it's going to be a good time. We're going to make it more than just an actual... by the way, I completely forgot about Wattage Wednesday, so I don't have anything prepared for that for today, so we're going to have to do it next week. Completely apologize, because I was so excited about having two guests on in one show, because that never happens to me, that I completely forgot about it. So we have other stuff we're going to talk about. But we're going to talk about the fact that that solar energy, if you can adjust your expectations to it, if you can move away from how we here in these United States use energy and we take advantage of energy and we just walk into a room and we flip a light switch and we have lights. Even, and this is, I'm just saying this as an example, even in our poorest communities, even in our poorest communities, they have access to power and clean water out of the tap. And the fact that we have those things, we are so far off when we look at the rest of the world versus us. But we also have to realize that in this rapidly changing landscape that we're dealing with, which has been accelerated since the election of Don John from Manhattan, President Trump, this plan that's being executed. And energy is one of those things. One of those things. That people are not, we're talking about guns, which I love. We all know I love me some guns. We talk about guns. We talk about food. We talk about cryptocurrency and precious metals. And don't get me wrong, those are all very important, especially guns and food and precious metals. So all of it. But we're kind of operating under what? Under this assumption, under this umbrella, under this idea that we'll still be able to walk to the fridge and open it up and have freeze goods. We'll still have refrigerators that work and washing machines and all of these things that we have today. Right now, my wife is in the other room working from home. She's using the internet, which is plugged into electricity, and she's on her machines, and she's in another room, and she's using a space heater because she's a beautiful Mexican woman from El Paso, and she's cold no matter what. So all of these things are being used with energy. And the idea is, and we've talked about it, so I guess I'll do a little mini Wattage Wednesday since I forgot to prep for it. We talk about it, and the reason why people don't like solar is, it doesn't work. And if you've listened to every one of my Wattage Wednesdays, A, you're amazing, and B, prepare for some relapse. People talk about, it doesn't work. I can't power. It's not a good solution. It's not a good alternative. It's not a good alternative for today's lifestyle. So that's what we're going to be talking about. All right. Coming up on the other side of the break, we have some more stories to cover here on the Bear Brief. Also, Asa Hutchinson got wrecked on Tucker Carlson. We'll talk about that here on the Bear Brief of the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing.